Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, November the 13th, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins, so let's get right to it. The first bit of news today is head coach Adam Gase gave the team the week off. Obviously, the Miami Dolphins do not have a game this upcoming Sunday. They are on a bye week. It's the team's first bye week since the year 2016. Let that sink in for a bit. Their first bye week since 2016. Obviously, last year in 2017, they lost their bye week because of the weather situation in September. They had to shuffle around their schedule. They played the entire year with no bye week. They go through the first 10 games of this year with no bye week. So this team, right now, with all the injuries too, deserves a week off. Head coach Adam Gase told the team, head home, get football out of your mind for a week, and that's what they're doing. So nobody will be at the facility this week, sort of practicing or anything like that, as the team has the week off. And, you know, it's a smart decision there by the coach. This team needs to just rest up and get healthy, because there's a lot of issues right now regarding the Miami Dolphins, but the majority of them pretty much is just focuses on the injuries, and this team just needs to get healthy. And let's go over some of those injuries. The Miami Dolphins actually got some okay news here regarding a lot of the guys that, or a lot of the key guys right now who are banged up and bruised. Let's start off with Jakeem Grant. Jakeem Grant did not tear his Achilles tendon, which is very good. So he won't be out for like 9 months here. So he didn't tear the Achilles tendons. That was the fear, that it was torn. But and there's a chance he could return this year and play. He just needs pretty much some rest. The issue here is, though, if he's going to miss 2-3 weeks or more, you know, by the time he's ready to return, what's the Dolphins' season look like? What's their record? Because if they drop the next 2 or 3 games, there's pretty much no reason to bring Grant back and throw him out there on the field if the team's, you know, shot at making the playoffs, for all intents and purposes, is over with. But good news for Grant, he did not tear his Achilles tendon. Wide receiver Devontae Parker was diagnosed with a sprained AC joint in his shoulder that will not require surgery. So Parker, again, like Grant, could return this year. He does not require surgery. Again, with Parker, it was a huge mistake they made roughly 2 weeks ago by not trading him at the deadline for whatever they were offered. If they were offered a 6th-round pick, they should have took it. If they were offered a 3rd or 4th, they really should have took it. They made a mistake because this is what happens. You can't trust the guy. Yes, he looked great in the game against Houston, but then since then, he's done absolutely nothing. And, you know, if Parker is unable to return this year, which with him is very much in play here, very likely, because he's not a guy who will suck it up and play through pain or rush back from an injury, then I think it's safe to say we have seen Devontae Parker play his final game as a member of the Miami Dolphins. There is no way in hell that he will be back next year. Offensive tackle Juwan James, per Omar Kelly, he is reporting that James is okay and should be ready to go against Indianapolis after the bye week. So some good news there regarding Juwan James. He should be back. No word yet on Laremy Tunsil, and we don't know if he'll be ready to go after the bye. If I had to make a guess, and this is just strictly an educated guess, I would say he'll probably be okay to go after the bye, but we don't know that for certain, and hopefully we'll get some more news on that, you know, in the next week or so. Bobby McCain, per his agent, he said he's okay and should be ready to go after the bye week. So some good news there, too, on Bobby McCain. He suffered a concussion in the game against the Packers, and per his agent, McCain should be okay and be ready to go after the bye week. So the week off there will definitely help McCain and give him some extra time to rest. And, of course, the big $64,000 question, Ryan Tannehill. Adam Gase said when he spoke to the media on Monday that Tannehill started throwing. Here's the quote from Gase. It seemed like it went well. It's not like he's out there throwing 60-yard throws. They have a progression of how they want it to go. They said it was a good first step, and he felt good, so that's positive. So, again, I mean, that quote doesn't give you a lot of insight. It sounds like Tannehill started some light throwing here. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how this goes. They want to get him back. I mean, look, at 5-5, you have a head coach whose job may be on the line. We don't know. You may be on the line. And obviously you got people in the front office whose jobs are on the line. And they got to win games here. You know, if they end the year 5-11, 6-10, that's not good enough. And there's going to be some changes, whether it's with the front office, whether it's with the head coach, we don't know. So they got to win games. And obviously what we've seen the past few games out of Brock Osweiler, that's going to be tough. Not going to be good enough. But I don't know. I think with Tannehill, I think this injury, as Tom Ernesty has said, he had a very similar injury here to Tannehill. Obviously, he's not a professional athlete, so it's a little bit different. It takes a while to rebound from. It takes a little bit. And to be expected to go out there on an NFL field, get hit, which behind this offensive line, you will get hit, and still be able to make all the necessary throws that one has to make, might be a challenge. But we'll see with Tannehill. Hopefully, he can come back this year. Because, look, at 5-10, you still have two games left against the Buffalo Bills. That gets you to 7. If they could ever find a way to sneak out one or two more, get to 9, you might sneak into the playoffs. I just don't see it. Not just because of the quarterback play, but because of all the issues on the other side of the ball. This defensive line and this linebacker core cannot stop the run. It's a problem we've seen in the past 2 or 3 years. And at the start of this year, when everyone was healthy, it seemed to be not great by any means, but a little bit better. But right now, you know, we're playing guys who weren't even on a team a few weeks ago, like Ziggy Hood and Sylvester Williams. And there's a reason these guys were out there and available. And Miami's playing them for significant snaps each week. And as we saw with the Packers and Aaron Jones, the Dolphins can't stop the run. We saw it against the Lions. Lions ran up and down the field on us all day long. We saw it against Houston. Houston ran up and down the field on us all day long. And teams, you know, they have a competent offense, which the Jets didn't have. That's why it's tough to read anything into that game against the Jets on that side of the ball, because the Jets' offense was just abysmal. And, it's just an abysmal team. I'm saying something now, because you had teams like the Bills, Arizona, and the Giants. The Jets might be the worst team in the NFL, and Miami was lucky to get a win against them at home where they couldn't score an offensive touchdown. So I think that's the outlier. And for the Miami Dolphins defense, what we saw against the Lions, what we saw against Houston, what we saw against the Packers this past weekend, is they can't stop anybody. They cannot stop anybody at all. Now, they do have a couple teams on their schedule, like the Bills and Jacksonville, that aren't exactly high-powered offenses. But, you know, the Miami Dolphins are struggling right now on that side of the ball. So even if they get back Ryan Tannehill, and even if he's 80 to 90% healthy, I don't know how they're going to win games. I really don't. And that sort of leads here into my final point of the show. And that is, you know, everyone right now wants Brock Osweiler's head on a platter. Never want to see him again. Run him out of town. This guy's the worst of the worst. Why is he out there playing? What's wrong with Adam Gase? And as I said on the post-game wrap-up show Sunday night there with Tom, I get it. I really do. Osweiler, you know, for the most, he can't throw a long ball, which I've been saying here for a few weeks. He cannot throw a long ball to save his life. He just winds up and throws as far as he can with no, you know, inclination of where the wide receiver might be. It's just can't throw the long ball at all. The problem is, and it's sort of twofold, this is a problem the front office made, you know, back in the offseason. And it's tough to get mad at somebody like Brock Osweiler. Well, yes, in the moment, he's not playing well. He shouldn't be in this position, folks. He shouldn't be in the NFL. He shouldn't be on this team. He shouldn't have been the number two quarterback. The Miami Dolphins, as a franchise, as an organization, as a front office, as a coaching staff, for lack of a better word, you know, screwed it up, you know, in early 2018. And, well, all offseason, I was sitting here pounding the table week after week in July and August. What are they doing? They need to find someone better. You know, come late August when everyone's making their cuts and teams are making, you know, those small little trades of guys who they're about to release, just sort of swapping players. I said, why aren't the Miami Dolphins looking at another quarterback? Look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers who has too many quarterbacks. Look at a few of these teams that have too many quarterbacks. Pick up this guy. He's better than what we got. Pick up that guy. He's better than what we got. The Miami Dolphins sat on their hands and did absolutely nothing. And, you know, this is what you get. This is what you get. And there was an there is more to this here that I think some fans are forgetting. Number one, Osweiler, it's not like he's replacing Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady here. Ryan Tannehill, you know, everyone's going nuts. The Miami Dolphins haven't scored an offensive touchdown in the last eight quarters. Oh my God. It's been, I don't know how many offensive drives since they scored a touchdown. You know, the last eight quarters Ryan Tannehill played was pretty freaking bad, okay? People just forget or sort of block out the New England and Cincinnati games. The Cincinnati game, yes, we all remember the third and fourth quarters of those games. You know, the first half of that game, Miami scored on a punt return, and they also had one offensive drive that led it in touchdown, one. And the game against the Patriots, Miami scored one offensive touchdown the entire game, which was led by Brock Osweiler in garbage time. So it's not like the Miami Dolphins here are replacing, you know, Joe Namath. Tannehill was really bad before he went down to the injury. I mean, really bad. And the guys at the Five Reason Sports Network Sunday night put out a tweet, which I know some fans didn't really appreciate, but, you know, the stats are the stats. You got Tannehill played five games, and now Osweiler's played five games. The completion percentage, Brock Osweiler, 63.5. Ryan Tannehill, 65.9. Pretty much even. The yards per attempt, Brock Osweiler, 7 yards per attempt. Ryan Tannehill, 7.5 yards per attempt. Pretty much even. Touchdown to interception, Brock Osweiler, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Tannehill, 8 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Again, pretty much even. 6-4, 8-5. These guys, their numbers are exactly the same. The drop-off, yes, they lose something by not having Tannehill because Osweiler can't move, so you lose sort of the read option game. Osweiler's never going to make a play with his feet. I get it. And Tannehill can obviously throw a better long ball. I get it. Nobody's saying Brock Osweiler is better than Ryan Tannehill. Nobody. Never said that since day one. But it's like the drop-off isn't as steep as some people like to make it out to be. And if Tannehill comes back, this offense is still going to struggle. Because, you know, he's just an ordinary quarterback. He's nothing special. And Osweiler, you know, he's doing his best. Again, I don't put as much fault on him as I do the front office because he shouldn't be out there. Miami Dolphins made a mistake. And he should not be out there. But at this point, this late in the season, they're going to have to ride or die with him. And for those of you who are out there pounding the table and clamoring for David Fells, you know, simmer down. Really. Simmer down. David Fells, you know, he's a borderline NFL quarterback at this point. The man's been released more times than not. David Fells is a turnover machine. He really is. If you want to know why, head coach Adam Gase, and he said as much in the post-game press conference Sunday after the game when he was asked, did you consider making a switch at quarterback and look at Fells, you know, Gase looked at the reporter and was like, no. He's like, no. Like, why are you even mentioning this? And the reason is, Fells turns it over left and right. Now, you can say what you want about Brock. He turns it over. Yes, he does, but not at a rate like Fells. Brock played an entire game against the Lions, you know, 22 for 31, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. The game against the Jets, as ugly as it was, Brock, 15 to 24, you know, no turnovers. He plays entire games with no turnovers. And that's what, you know, for the Miami Dolphins to even have a chance to win, you can't turn it over. You just can't turn it over. You look at Fells, the final game he played last year against the Bills in 2017, 29 for 42, 1 interception. There's one turnover there. In the preseason this year, against the Panthers, 1 for 6, 1 interception. Against the Ravens, 5 of 10, 1 interception. Against Atlanta, 13 for 20, 1 interception. Every game David Fales plays, he is good for one turnover. Mark it down. And that's why he's tough to trust in a real game that matters. The final game last year against the Bills, the game had no meaning. Who cares? The preseason, those games don't matter. Who cares? You can, and if you can't protect the ball in preseason games, when you're out there playing against guys who aren't even in the league anymore, guys who work for UPS or FedEx or slicing meat at a deli, if you can't protect the ball playing against those guys, then there is no chance in hell you will be able to protect the ball against real NFL players in a real game. So this whole notion that, you know, Fales can't be any worse. Yeah, he can. Folks, yeah, he can. So if you're sitting there, tied on your couch, sipping on your ice cold beer, eating your pretzels, watching the game, going, oh, we got to put in someone else. Brock can't play. There is nobody else, folks, okay? That's why I am so upset with the front office that they put this team in this position this year when you had a quarterback coming off a major knee injury who really isn't that good to begin with. He's an ordinary NFL starting quarterback. Nothing special. Really has done nothing special since he's entered the league in 2012. You knew he was coming off a major injury. You knew you had to be ready. God forbid something happens to that knee again. Nope, this time it was the shoulder. You know, it's like you had to be ready, and they weren't ready. And that's on them. And it's not a salary cap issue. It's not a money issue. It's a poor planning, lack of foresight issue. And to me, that's very alarming when talking about a team's front office, GM, and head coach. That none of them, you know, this worried them or concerned them enough that they were just, you know, Fales, Osweiler, Bryce Petty, good enough. Who cares? No, you know what? I'll tell you who cares. The owner cares. And at the end of this year, if this season ends up going very badly, the owner might really care. And he might send a few of these guys packing because it's inexcusable. Inexcusable that we have to play Brock Osweiler at starting quarterback for 5 games this year and possibly, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 more. That is just inexcusable. But the people clamoring for David Fales, really, sit down and pipe down because you have no clue what you're talking about. Absolutely no clue. David Fales is not someone you want to play out there in a real game that matters. And right now, to Miami Dolphins, it doesn't seem that way, but at 5-5, they're playing in real games that matter, and Fales is not someone you want under center. Not in the least. So we'll see how it goes, but this week is a bye week. There might not be a lot of news to talk about, but we'll have shows all week. I am working on a few guests to have on the podcast this week to talk about, you know, sort of the first 10 games of the season, where Miami is, and how these last 6 games might play out. So we'll be back with shows all week. Hopefully have a few guests lined up for you, a few surprises from some people you'd like to hear from, and we'll take it from there. Right now we have a few new articles up on the website at DolphinsTalk.com. Check them out. Young Mayo, he broke down every screen pass that the Miami Dolphins have thrown this year and done some great research on that. You're going to want to check out that article. Matt, he's got up a great article from some Week 10 observations from the Packers-Miami game. And, of course, we'll have the full list of podcasts this week, a Landon and Jeff show. We'll have a new Perfect Phil podcast. The same old Dolphin show will be back. So keep checking out the website, DolphinsTalk.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. Everyone have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.